You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go. Willingly or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when I think of that verse, I see that verse of scripture. I see us, those who love the Lord, bowing down in humble adoration, falling before the Lord, saying, Jesus is Lord. And I see those stiff-necked, hard-headed people that rebelled against God, having the angel of the Lord behind them. Boom! Knees busting on a pack impact, lifting up their eyes and saying, Jesus is Lord. Doesn't matter how you try to rebel. You can't change the fact. Doesn't matter if you believe or not, Jesus is Lord. Doesn't matter if you have incorporated him in your educational experience and learned about him in the history books. It doesn't matter if you have a intellectual knowledge of who he is, and you might think he was a great prophet, or you might think he was someone who did a lot of good deeds that walked across the earth, and he was all that and then some. But more than that, he is the Savior of the world. And there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he has imparted unto us eternal life to all who will believe. To whosoever will. We got any whosoever wills in the house today? Whosoever will. And see, the key is will. Whosoever will. Because there's a lot of whosoevers, but everybody don't will to allow him to be Lord and Savior of their life. We got a lot of people who are hearers who come to intellectualize what we have to say and try to see if it makes sense to them. And when they get through hearing the word, they said, you know, that just doesn't make sense. Because you cannot understand this with your sensory mechanism. You can't grasp this with the natural mind. You can't conceive how God could love you so much that he would send his son to die on your behalf in order to deliver you from an eternal hell. Because number one, you don't even know if there's a life after this. You just think that this is all there is. I'll live, I'll get, I'll have, I'll die, and it'll be over. No, death is not the end of all things. It's the beginning. This brief experience that we call life, which is but for a moment, sets us on a course for eternity based on our decisions that we make while we're here. And God has provided a way for us to escape an eternal suffering, an eternal damnation, simply by placing faith in the attributes and the work that Jesus did on the cross in your behalf and my behalf. I'm grateful for my salvation. I thank God that no matter how much wealth I may accumulate in this world or how many possessions that I have, that I can never purchase what God has got for me. I can't be good enough. I can't do enough good deeds. I can't work enough hours. I can't give enough. It's nothing I can do to save myself. But believe that what Jesus did on the cross was more than enough. Amen? Today's message is entitled Grace, Grace, and More Grace. We need some more grace, y'all. See, God dealt with the people of Israel and deals with us in different ways based on our timeline that we live in this world. Now, in the Old Testament, he dealt with the people different than what he's dealing with the people in the New Testament. God made a covenant with Abraham back in Genesis. And God began to speak to Abraham in Genesis. Turn over to Genesis chapter 12, if you will. We're just going to explore just a couple of verses between chapter 12 and chapter 15 right quick. But it was in chapter 12 that he began to speak to Abraham, and he made covenant with Abraham, called Abraham out from his father's house, and called him to go in a land that he would show him. And then God began to speak to Abraham, whose name was Abram at the time, and God began to make promises to him. God began to introduce himself in the way of making promise. Now, understand, Abram really didn't have a worship relationship with God at that time. I'm sure he knew about God of all creation, but they were more worshipers of the moon in the land of Chaldee, or the land of Ur, where he came from. They were not worshipers of the living God. So God was introducing himself to them. Remember, this was shortly after the flood, you know, down a few descendants from Noah. And now you got Abram coming on, and God is ready to get back involved in the affairs of men. You know, there was a couple of covenants that have already gone by that had Adam and Eve messed up the first covenant. God made another covenant with Noah. And now he's making a covenant here with Abraham. And every time God makes covenant with man, it is God who is establishing the promises. In other words, we come to the table with nothing to offer. There's nothing that we can bargain with God with. Nothing that we have that we can make a deal with God. We have nothing to offer. We are in total need of everything that God has. So when God first called Abram in chapter 12, verse 2, he said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed for Haran. Now, God just appears unto Abram and began to make promise. How many know that God already knows the end from the beginning? Matter of fact, God started out, he walked from the beginning all the way to the end and turned around and walked back to the beginning and said, now let there be. God created all things. All things are in God. See, your story, rather than as you know it, has already been written. It's already been told. But now we're living it out. We're living it out. We're walking this thing out. So God made promise unto Abraham there in chapter 12. And I'm just going to skip over a little bit because God began to make promise to him in several different places. But on the way through the covenant, God allowed Abraham to get into a battle with the kings of that realm because his nephew Lot had gotten into trouble. Y'all know about Lot. Lot went and pitched his tent in near Sodom, and he thought that was a good place. You know, our young people always want to go to the bright lights in the big city. They find themselves getting in trouble with drug abuse, prostitution. They find themselves getting involved with gambling. They find themselves getting involved with all of the sins of the world because there's some type of glitz and glamour that they try to put on sin to make it look attractive. And so from a distance, that's where Lot chose to go. But he got over there and he got in trouble and he got all of his stuff taken. And so Abraham equipped the servants of his own house, and they went out. They were only 300 strong. They went out, and they defeated all of the kings of the Dale, and they took all of their stuff. And on the way back from the battle, they met a high priest named Melchizedek. Somebody say Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was called the king of Salem, or the king of Jerusalem. He was the king of Salem, and we'll talk a little bit more about Melchizedek, but Melchizedek was the high priest of God. And Melchizedek met Abram coming back from the battle. And let me just read a little bit about that in verse 17 of chapter 14 of Genesis. It says, and the king of Salem went out and met him after he returned from the slaughter of the Calamara and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba and the kings of the Dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he said, and he gave a tenth of all that he had unto the priest Melchizedek. A tenth of all this, for he had just gotten wealth of all these five kings, and he just gave a tenth of it back until Melchizedek to honor the priest of the Most High God. And so after these things, the Lord began to make promise to Abraham again. And it went down and says, after these things in chapter 15, that the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision and saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that cometh forth out of thy own bowels, he shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, now look toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6 says, and he believed the Lord. Somebody say, he believed the Lord. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. I haven't heard anything that Abram has promised God. Only thing that says that Abram did was he believed the promises that God made. And because he believed God's promises, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He was made righteous because he believed God. Somebody say, I believe God. I have faith in God. See, one of the things about receiving any of the promises of God, it first has to be believed and it also has to be trusted. Somebody say trusted. In order to trust somebody, sometimes you're going to have to enter into areas that may be unfamiliar. They may give you instructions that you're not quite clear about. But because the one who gave you the instruction, you believe and you have placed your trust in, even though you may not fully understand what it is that he is telling you to do, you obey because you trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. So here God made promise to Abraham that he was going to have a seed, that his seeds would outnumber the stars of the sky or the sand on the sea. And Abraham said, hold up, Lord, wait a minute. I don't have any kids. And the closest thing I got to an heir is a steward in my house. And if I die, everything, I'm going to just leave it to him because I don't have any kids. He said, this shall not be your heir, but that which comes out from your own bowels. Somebody said, come out from your own bowels. God wants to produce something out of your life. That shall be your heir. But he said, but I don't have anything. You make some good promises up until now, Lord. I believe you. But where's the evidence? That's basically what he's asking God. He said, where's the evidence? So God begins to make a covenant with him. And he does that. And verse 7, it says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land and to inherit it. He said unto the Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? See, you got to understand something about Abraham and God. When God introduced himself to Abraham, they had to establish what is called relationship. Relationship is based on communication as well as trust. See, in a relationship, it's not a dictatorship. And so when God established relationship, he was willing to listen also to what Abraham had to say back to him. He could have said, man, I'm God. Just shut up and do what I say. But they were able to have dialogue and have conversation. This is before the law. I'm getting to a point. They were able to have relationship, and God not only was able to speak to Abraham, but Abraham was able to speak back to God, and God was able to respond to Abraham's questions. They had a relationship. And in relationships, you need to find each other out. I need to know where you stand. I need to know where you sit. I need to know if what you say is good, and you need to know where I stand. And so God had to establish a covenant. See, a covenant is powerful. He used covenant relationship because Abram understood covenant. The land that he came from, everything that they did, they established by covenant. And he knew that a blood covenant was the most powerful covenant that anybody could make. Verse 9. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon, and he took them and all of these and divided them in the midst and laid each one piece against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowl came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, why is that portion of scripture in there? Now, we know by nature that if a vulture see a dead body by the side of the road, they're going to come down and eat on it, right? So we know in the natural that ravenous birds come to eat roadkill. They'll eat anything. Matter of fact, if you lay there long enough and don't move, they might come down to check you out. So Abraham drove away the fowl that would try to come and eat up the pieces that was part of the covenant, the part of the sacrifices. See, the enemy is always out to destroy your relationship with God. And there's always going to be these foul people in your life. They're very foul in nature. Who's going to try to come and eat up the implements of your sacrifice? You can't tithe now because you got too many bills. You can't give your offering because you made a post-dated check. And you got to cover that check because it's coming in. But guess what? You only got enough to meet that post-dated check because you got involved with a covenant with somebody over the phone who said that, well, we won't shut off your lights if you just post-date us a check. You didn't have the money when you made the promise. And now when the money come, it's taking all your money out the bank. And if you ain't got enough, it's going to bounce. Well, you entered in a false covenant with somebody. They don't have the power. God has the power. And so Abram drove away all them fowls, all those salesmen, all those people trying to eat up the covenant, all those who were trying to separate him between God to make another deal. He said, I drove away. And when the fowl came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. See, your relationship with God has got to be so pure that you won't allow anybody else get in the way. You got to understand what God was doing. He was establishing relationship. See, if you're married, and those of you that are married, you can't have no chick on the side and think that your relationship with your wife is going to be good. No, you need to drive away them fouls. You need to drive away anything that's going to try to get involved with your covenant relationship with God. And so when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror, a great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know ye of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them there, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterwards shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go into thy father in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Well, we know that when the children of Israel ended up in Egypt, that God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So much the Bible said that they spoiled the Egyptians. I mean, they emptied their country of gold. The Bible said that they borrowed, but borrow means they had everything. There was nothing left. He said they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out with so much wealth, they was able to sacrifice for 40 years in the wilderness and never run out of stuff to give. It's amazing how God establishes his covenant. But like I say, a covenant not only has to be made between you, but it also is going to have to be put to the test. It's not enough for you and I to make promises. See, not only do I believe, but now my trust. Remember, covenant says that one covenant party is willing to do, the other also must be willing to do and take it another step further. So it's not only finding out if Abraham can trust God. Remember, I said friendship is a dialogue. We can talk back to each other. But now God needs to know, can I trust you, Abraham? I made you some promises. You didn't put nothing on the table. I've made you some exceeding great and precious promises. But now it's time for you to put your cards on the table. I mean, Abraham had a son, his only son. His name was Isaac. It was a promised seed. It was a seed that God gave to Sarah, and Sarah named his name Isaac because she laughed at the fact when God told her that she was going to have a child, and here she is, old woman, past childbearing age. And so when God told Abram that she was going to have a child, she laughed and then denied it, but she laughed. And so she named this child Isaac, which means laughter. Can you imagine Abram 90, 95, and Sarah about 90, old in their age. They got a child, a promised seed. And back in the Bible days, being barren was a reproach. So in order to try to circumvent God's promise, you know, they went to Hagar and they produced the Ishmael, and they still having trouble today because of that. But when they got Isaac, can you imagine the joy that filled their heart? The wonder of all wonders, the promise has finally come. But he was called the promise seed. He was a seed. He was just a promised seed unto God. He said, thy seed shall be. And so now God wants to see, if you really believe me, let me really see if you trust me. Because if you trust me, I'm about to tell you to do something that you might not quite understand right now. But if you trust me, then you'll carry out my word. And the Lord came and he had visited Abraham and Sarah. And they had Isaac. And I'm really going to paraphrase so I can get to the next place where I'm going. And God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, Lord, here I am. He said, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and go up and sacrifice him before the Lord. He said, did he say, what? No, he didn't say that. He obeyed God. So what did Abraham do? It shows no place in the word where he told Sarah what he was doing. Because if he had told Sarah what he was doing, he was going to have some problems. To try to take your only son and sacrifice him. But now God is putting him to the test. So he took Isaac and he took the wood and he took him to a place. And they went up into a high mountain. We're in chapter 22, by the way. And in chapter 5, verse 22, Abram said to the young man that went with him, he said, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Now, wait a minute. Now, God just told him, he said, and it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 22, he said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thou into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took the two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young man, abide here with the asses. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Wait a minute. He said, I'm going to worship and I'm coming again unto you. Abraham already had it in his mind that somehow or another, Isaac's going to have to live. Somehow or another, even if I kill him, God's going to raise him up. Now, back in chapter 15, when God made that covenant, they say a deep sleep fell over Abram. And it was pitch black. And God began to speak to Abram. God began to make covenant with Abram. God began to tell Abraham, because in the New Testament, the Bible said that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. God revealed everything that he was going to do to Abram. Everything that he was going to do. I believe he saw the whole plan of creation through the covenant relationship. God revealed it unto him. And because he saw that what God was willing to do to his only son, when God commanded Isaac to take your son, go up and to sacrifice him, he didn't hesitate. But Isaac wanted to know what was going on. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, I am here, my son. And he said, behold the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Something missing here, Dad. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. Now, I want you to underline that chapter, that verse 8, where it says, and Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went together. And they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him from out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, since thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, somebody say, a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of Isaac, his son. But Abraham said, God is going to provide for himself a lamb. But in Isaac's place, they sacrificed a ram. That wasn't the lamb that Abram was talking about. See, we got to come on down back into the New Testament when John the Baptist was out baptizing in the River Jordan. He saw Jesus coming to be baptized. And what was his declaration? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. See, God will provide himself a lamb. But for Isaac, we got a ram. And we're going to still sacrifice the ram, but the blood of bulls and goats and rams can never do away with sin in our life. But because Isaac's or Abraham's obedience was fulfilled and that he had was willing to offer his only son, God said, hold up. Covenant promise says that what you're willing to do, I must be willing to do, but I'm going to take it another step further. Where I told you not to offer yours, I'm going to offer mine. Because the death of Isaac would not have fulfilled the covenant promise, but the death of Jesus, to whom the covenant was between, it wasn't between seeds as in many, but seeds as in one, and that is of Christ. The covenant was not really between God and Abraham, but between God and Abraham's seed, which was Jesus, who's of the line of the lineage of Abraham. And so when he sacrificed his son, Jesus, in the covenant, he fulfilled the promises that he made Abraham. And he secured salvation for you and I. And it's all because of his grace.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service times at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Does the Bible sometimes seem complicated to you? Well, to help you get a proper perspective, we invite you to join us on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee each weekday on this station as we go through the Bible in 5 years. Dr. McGee teaches the Bible in an easy-to-understand way, and you'll appreciate his simple, down-to-earth, and yet profound Bible teaching right here on the station.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.